very end of the chapter, and this is will be a very familiar verse of Scripture to most, and I guess many would consider this verse of Scripture to be elementary, but really we should know, I hope that we know, that it will take the Lord's people all eternity, and then some, to grasp the height and the depth of what is truly stated so plainly here in this text. I marvel at the demonstration of the infinite ability and the infinite wisdom of God. He takes here in this one verse the declaration of truth, the greatest truth known to man in all of time and eternity. He takes this truth and expresses it to us in less than 20 words. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have just read from the infallible, inerrant Word of our God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to divide and outline this verse into 3 points this morning. Number one, the undeniable indictment. Number two, the unmerited gift. And number three, the unmistakable Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To every one of us this morning, to all people of all times, of all classes, of all distinction, of all societies, of all cultures, young and old, male and female, God says in His Word here to us, that the wages, He not only says it, He declares it, that the wages of sin is death. He is saying to us, to all of us, and to you and me, if you sin against me, if you break my law, if you rebel and transgress against me, God says, your Creator, the Lord Yahweh, He will repay you. That is what He declares to us. And notice that He says that He does not say, if your sins become bad enough, I will repay you. Or if you accumulate enough or certain kinds of sins, I will repay you. But the wages of sin singular, is death. Understand this morning, we are all, as we are born into this world, we are born in sin. We are born into this world, we are born as sin. That is all that we are before God. As we are born into this world, we are sin. And because of that fact, that is why we commit sins. We've been teaching to the young people out of 1 Corinthians 15, that the first part of that chapter, which talks of the glorious gospel. And we've been talking about why it is that we need good news, what the problem really is, and the problem is, it's sin. It's sin. It's not just sins. No, it's sin. It is what we are of ourselves. We are nothing before God except for sin. Sins, plural, is just the outward manifestation of our inward catastrophe. Our problem is more than sins that we commit. It is the sin that we are. And the wage for that sin and the wage for that sinfulness, the payment, the paycheck, if you will, the wage, the paycheck from God is death. It's death. And not just the death of these bodies, that's part of it, but it's much more than that. That's the not even close to being the greatest part of it. It's more than that, but this death that He speaks of in this passage, He's talking about something much more severe than our physical death. This is eternal death. This is the second death that the Scriptures talk about. Death is not ceasing to exist. We all, every single one of us here this morning, will always exist. But this death that is speaking of in this passage is talking about us existing in the everlasting eternal death. The wage of our sin is that we exist forever in eternal death. That is what we deserve. And eternal death, death is just separation. We actually talked about this in our morning class this morning. Death, none of us, when our bodies lie cold in the casket, that will not end us. Our souls are just separated. That's the reason it's called death. Our souls will be separated from our bodies. Well, in eternal death, our souls will be separated from God. We don't quite understand what that means because none of us right now, even if you are dead in your sins this morning, still you are blessed with the benefits of the grace and the mercies of God daily and moment by moment upon your life. Your very life is an expression of God's common grace. But in this eternal death, it is separation from God. It is separation from all of His mercy, all of His goodness, all of His grace, all of His favor, all of His presence. This is eternal hell. It's going to be something much greater than the fires of hell. This being separated from Him, our Creator, is what will be the eternal torment of hell, really. Yes, there's going to be fire there. I'm not trying to put that to the side. It's going to be there. It's real. It's going to burn forever. The Scripture is very clear about that. There's going to be something worse than the fires. This absence of the mercy and the goodness and the presence of God. And that is your paycheck and my paycheck for our sin. So let me ask the question again this morning. Is there one among us who has not sinned? If there is, go ahead and raise your hand. I've asked that question countless times for many different peoples, many different meetings, gatherings of so many different sorts of people, not even necessarily church gatherings. And I've never had anyone raise their hand. So there's none of us here that have not sinned. So we have all broken our Creator's law. I guess even in a congregation this size, you might get many different thoughts about that, though someone might not be bold enough to raise their hand and say, well, I don't, maybe it's this thought, I don't think I'm that bad. My sins aren't as bad as yours. My sins aren't as bad as that preacher or that deacon. You know, we get held up as the standard sometimes. Oh, what a terrible standard. We might have all sorts of ideas about that, but here's the reality of it. It doesn't really matter what our answer is to that question because God has already answered the question for us and He knows us even better than we know ourselves. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? Because all have sinned. All have sinned. So this all includes all who have ever lived today. As natural born men, women, boys, and girls, all of us, without exception of ourselves, we, you and me, are at the receiving end of this undeniable indictment. We have all sinned, and the proof of that is that we do sin. We have sins. Our sins are, it's just proof that we are sin. And God's Word has went out. God's word, the decree has been declared. The wage, the payment for this sin is death. The payment for your sin is eternal death. It's just like that illustration we've talked about. God is holy. God is holy in righteousness. He is absolutely righteous. And His justice defends His holy righteousness. But sin and sinners like us, we offend His holiness and His holy righteousness. And because of this, the justice of God
goes into action. The justice of God that defends His righteousness, that defends His holiness, it goes into action against sin. And this justice, His justice, demands the payment against sin be made. It's not up for debate. It's not up for barter. You know, well, Lord, I've got a lot of these good things here, and surely that outweighs our... No, it's not. It's not like that. Our God is not like that. He's not like that. He is so righteous, He will not accept one sin. If you had but just one sin, sinner, just one, that would be too much sin for the holy God of righteousness. No, His even then, with one sin, His justice would demand the payment. And His justice, the defender of God's holiness, the defender of God's righteousness, He pulls out His sword and He pulls it back and He's ready to give payment. And what is the payment? The wage of sin is death. I'm not trying to scare us this morning, but listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you are lost here today in your sin, you must know that the justice of God must and will give the payment, give you the payment, the paycheck for that sin. He must exact it. If you feel Him breathing down your neck, you know that. Know this, you and yourself, you cannot escape Him. You cannot escape Him. You do not have the ability to change His course or thwart Him or elude Him. Not your tears. Not your prayers. Not your works. Not your religion. None of those things will stay His hand. The justice of God must give payment. He must defend the holy righteousness of God. And the reality is there's only one hope of escaping the rightful and deserved payment for your sin. There's only one hope for sinners like us to be freed from this undeniable indictment that is against us because of our sin. There's only one hope, but there is one hope. There is one hope. Behold, number two, the unmerited gift. For the wages of sin is death. That's clear, that's plain, that's forward, isn't it? He's not obscuring anything from us. He's telling us like it is. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of who? Of God. And what is it of God? The gift. A gift of God. And the gift is eternal life. The same apostle said it like this to the church of Ephesus, "For by grace are you saved." That's the gift. God says to all of us here in this one little simple text, He says to all of us, loud and clear, it's undeniable what He's saying. He says that the wages of sin, of your sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Can you see the truth here? What do we deserve, sinners? What do we deserve? We deserve death. Is that not what it says? Listen, God is a just God. He's righteous, but He's just. He will never overpay or underpay. All the wrath. You know, we take our little sins and we compare them to one another and we kind of log them here and log them there, and these are little ones and these are bigger ones, and that person down the street, he's got the big ones, but I only have a few of these little ones. Well, I want to tell you, the little ones, big ones, in-between ones, the wrath of God against them is hell. And that being the case, the wrath of God against all of those, the right wrath, because He's just, the right payment for those, even that your little sin, is eternal hell. He will never underpay. He will never overpay. So what is it that we deserve? The Scripture is clear. We deserve death. We deserve eternal death. We deserve eternal separation from God in the fires of hell itself because of our sin. We deserve the wrath of God because He is the one that we sinned against. Isn't it odd how we Like we say what our sin deserves, but it's not us that we've sinned against. It's God that we've sinned against. It's the Almighty, our Almighty Creator, that we've risen, raised our fist to His face and said, "No, God, no, I'll not have You to be my God. I'll not have You to be my Lord. I'll think of You whatever I want to think. Forget that. I don't believe that. I want to believe what I believe, and that's what I'm going to believe." We sin against Him. One of the greatest crimes we commit is falling short of His glory, because He is committed to His glory above all else. Is that right? Yes, that's right. So when we fall short of His glory, think about what a transgress that is. The world is full of it, and our lives are full of it, and our minds are full of it. Falling short of His glory every day, in and out, every day. Not esteeming this God for the God that He is, because we don't know Him. We know what religion says about Him, but we don't know what He says about Him. So we transgress into His face, even with the hint of religion flowing from our mouths and from our lives. We transgress, and with religion itself, we transgress against Him. Sin and pile the sin up and pile the sin up, and we deserve death. We deserve His justice. That's the indictment that has been leveled against us, and rightfully so, by God's justice. You and me have sinned against the holy God, the Lord Yahweh. I didn't see a hand raised this morning. I'm sure not going to raise mine. We have broken His law. We've offended His holiness. Death and hell are our just deserves. You might say, "Well, I thought you went to point number two." I did, but I'm going to tell you this. Until we know in our hearts to the depths of our soul, until we know this, that we are absolutely hopeless, wretched sinners in the sight of God, we will know nothing else of the rest of the verse. Until we know this. Until you know that you deserve God's judgment. Until you know that you personally have sinned against Him personally, and you are a wretched sinner. Until you know that the only hope for you is nothing else and no one else but this free gift of God. This unmerited, gracious gift of God. Until you know that that is the absolute only hope, that has to be God. If God does not save me, then I will not be saved, and I will surely perish. Until you know that, there is no hope for you. There is absolutely no hope for you. As a matter of fact, until you know that, the wrath of God abides upon you. Until you know that, you are right now, this moment, perishing. Until you know that, your life literally is suspended over hell by the very God that you are sinning against. You know this, there is no hope for you. We live in a world steeped in religion, vain religion, worthless religion. And I'm not talking about everybody else's religion. I'm talking about our religion. You know why? You know why we live in this nation that considers itself good? It considers itself Christian, 87%. Me and Brother Chris were talking about it this morning. I can tell you one thing. If that were the case, there is no way that we would stand for the millions of babies being aborted every year in our own nation. There's no way that we would stand for that. If we were really God's people, people of this book, there's no way we would stand for this transgress upon our nation that will bring the end of this nation. It will. It's brought the end of other nations throughout history. You put away God as the Creator, and we have as a nation. He's not our Creator anymore. No, you created yourself. You just evolved abracadabra. You became you. All you got to do is read Romans 1 and see what happens when that happens. There's a progression in Romans 1. The end of that, homosexuality, immorality, and the end of it is the Lord
give them over to the reprobate mind.
Well, that's our nation. That's our nation. That's what's happening.
It's exactly what's happening. You go to Romans 1 and compare it. You can see, go back to the mid-60s when we put God out of the school, and you'll see it. You'll see that God's Word's true. It's true. But people are steeped in the religion because they want to believe that you can do some religious deed, that you can do some kind of work, perform some kind of religious sacrament, or be a part of a religious organization and repeat some religious thing, some religious prayer, and then God will owe you His favor. You know, if you do this, if you check your list and check it twice, then God will owe you His favor. He'll owe you His love. He has to love you. He'll owe you His salvation. He'll owe you His grace, which is an oxymoron itself. If I do this, then God will have to do this. That's the covenant of works. Any way you put it. If you go back in the beginning of the book, God said, if you do this, I will do this. Which is the covenant of works. And man could never be saved that way. But men are still trying. Because men are still men. People are still people. But it's a lie. It's a lie. It may be the lie in Revelation. It's a lie from Satan himself, and he is still alive and well in the day we live. They say all you have to do is make the right choices. It's up to you to decide. Just make the right choice and make the choice about doing these religious things, and then God will accept you because He'll have to. You can twist His arm then, and then He'll have to accept you. But God says here that the payment for sin from God to sinners is what? Death. That's the only thing He has to do. Is to give sinners death. That's the only thing He has to do. Because He's a just God. And He's a good God. You might say, how does that relate to God's goodness? It does. We don't want an evil God who will just let some sinners, because He likes those sinners, go free without any payment. You don't want an unjust judge. No, this here funnels into His goodness too. He couldn't be good. He couldn't be the God He is without Him also giving wrath and judgment for sin. He couldn't be. The only thing that He has to give sinners like you and me is death. But it also says here that the one hope for sinners to escape this payment of death is a free what? Gift. An unmerited gift from God. An unmerited, a free gift of God. Religion says and implies that God's grace, that this gift is contingent upon man's choices. If you do certain things, God will feel obliged to bless you with His grace. But is that what it says here? It doesn't say anything like that here. It doesn't say it. It says the wages of your sin and my sin is death, but God. But God, the gift of God. A free gift, an unmerited gift. Grace. The grace of God is eternal life. God is saying here in His Word, please listen, that man has sinned against Him, and man, sinners, cannot do anything to change that or correct that. Nothing. But yet still there is hope, but it's not man, and it's not in man's religion. It's in God. It's in His gift. It's in His free grace. Unmerited favor. It's not owed or obliged favor. It's free. It's a gift. May God be true, and every man a liar. The only hope for sinners like us is not in and of ourselves, not in the most pious of religious acts or ceremonies or traditions or denominations or sentiment. The one hope for sinners like us is that God have mercy upon us, that the lawgiver have mercy upon the lawbreakers, and that God in free grace and by this unmerited gift to sinners, free them from the eternal wrath and death-giving hand His justice, and give them eternal life where there was only before eternal death. That is the only hope for sinners. That's what God declares in this text. That's the only hope. But it is the only hope. It is the only hope. It is a real hope. You don't have to wonder like you do in religion, which religion's right. You don't have to wonder of all the many choices that they put out there for you, things for you to do, which one's right? Because they change every year. It's like everything else in this world is changing. It's quote-unquote evolving, and it becomes something different and something new. You don't have to worry about that with God. It's of Him. It's of Him. It is a sure hope. Here in this very text, it is the wonderful, glorious news that yes, we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And yes, death has passed upon all of us, but glory to God. He has chosen to impart this free gift of grace and mercy, eternal life. He has chosen to do that. You want to talk about choices. You want to talk about free will. Let's talk about God's choice. Let's talk about His free will. Let's put the emphasis there for a change. What He has chosen and decided, if I could say that, really what He's declared and decreed to do, and that is to save sinners. You know how infinitely good and wonderful our God, this God is, that He would choose to save those that have defiled His justice. Do you know how infinitely good and wonderful He is that we could gather here this morning and take this one verse out of His Word and find this mystery of all mystery unveiled for us? He says, you deserve death, but I give life. I give life. It is a gift that I give to sinners. That's what God has chosen to do. We also know through His Word that He has chosen in His exceeding great and sovereign mercy not just to give this gift to save just one or two or a handful, but He has sovereignly chosen to save a number, to save so many that man can't even number them. He owed us all death, remember? He owed us every single human being that has ever been born death. But He has chosen to save a number that can't be numbered, that man can't number. He has chosen to give them this gift of life to a people from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, to a people of the whole world. Not just the Jew, but the Greek also. And that's good news for us. The Gentiles also. And just look here in this one little verse. Just look at how He has accomplished this unmerited salvation of His people. This gift of eternal life. Look at how He gives this gift to sinners. You want to know just how holy and righteous and just and wonderful and good God really is? Look here at the unmistakable Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's the undeniable indictment. The gift of God is eternal life. That is His unmerited gift. Through or in by Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's not complicated, is it? No, it's simple. Singular even. Singular. You don't have to look in a bunch of different places. It's literally unmistakable, isn't it? God's Word about this truth, about the salvation of your soul and my soul, though we deserve death, is that He gives salvation, but this gift is given through one place, one person, not in anything or anyone but one. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, in men's religion, the true and real reality of the person and the work and the merit of Jesus Christ is just at best a sidebar to their salvation. Just a sidebar. They're salvation, quote unquote, their plan of salvation, in many cases, it's nothing but sheer deception. You know why Christ is a sidebar to that? Because you're in the middle of it. People, man is in the middle of it. But not in God's salvation. Not in real sinner, soul-saving salvation. In God's salvation, Jesus Christ is singularly right in the middle of it. In God's salvation, Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of it. In God's salvation, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher and the beginning and the end. This simple elementary verse declares that we are all irrecoverable, godless, wrath-worthy sinners, but God has chosen to give the free gift of salvation to us sinners, but He has and will only do this one way, the most glorious way, in and by Jesus Christ. Notice this is our Lord, our Master. The reality is, see, that's only the focus. You see the focus? It's on Jesus Christ. God's reality is, without the Lord Jesus Christ, the unmistakable Savior, the reality is this would be a one-point message this morning. And there would be no good news at all in it. That one point would be the wages of your sin is death. Apart from Jesus Christ, that is your reality. It is God's reality, and it is your reality. But I am so thankful that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is grace and there is mercy and there is an escape from God's sword of justice. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is salvation and eternal life instead of death. For sinners, great sinners like you and me. Let me tell you what He has done this morning. Let me tell you what He has done. Yes, we've all sinned. Yes, the sword of God's justice has been drawn. I deserve it. You deserve it. Yes, the payment against sin, death, it must be paid. But those that the Lord God has blessed with this gift of His grace, those that He sovereignly chose to have mercy upon and to give them this grace, those He gave to His Son as His own possession. And He sent Him to this earth. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. What is the first angelic declaration of Him? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Savior. Literally, Jehovah the Savior, Yahweh the Savior. Why will you call Him that? By the way, He was named of God and not His earthly father. Why will you call Him Jesus? Because He shall save His people from their sin. There it is. There it is. 2,000 years ago, Christ came and was born of a virgin, born of a woman under the law, and lived for 33 years or better without sin. Without sin, without any sin. If He was here this morning, He could raise His hand. He was perfect. He was impeccable. He met, satisfied, fulfilled every single demand of God's law. He did that by Himself. He did by Himself what no man, no woman, no boy, no girl who has ever lived or who will ever live, including all of you in this room this morning and me in this room, He did what none of us could do. He did it. He was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely impeccable. He was worthy. He was worthy of God's favor. Get that? You and me, no, it has to be grace. We're not worthy of it. But Jesus Christ was worthy of God's favor. He didn't deserve, He didn't earn the paycheck of death like we have. But then this amazing thing, this impeccable, perfect servant, the man Christ Jesus, laid down His own life. He laid it down for those He came to save. He was put on a cross by the wicked hands of men. He was crucified, but that was just a small part, really, of what was going on. You know what was really going on? God's righteous justice. That's what was really going on. The one who had his sword drawn for us, God's justice was released upon this perfect, impeccable, sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God. That's what really happened on the cross. He was delivered by the hands of wicked men, but you'll remember he was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. God's justice was released upon him. The Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus, after great suffering, both physically and spiritually, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was hanging on that cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And the Scripture says he gave up the ghost. Literally, he died. Remember what the text says? Our text this morning, the wages of sin is death. This is God's perfect Son we're talking about. But he died. The Lord Jesus Christ, though he had no sin of his own, this amazing transaction is recorded in God's Word for us to learn about. He had no sin of his own, but yet the sin of his people was laid to his charge. The sin of his people, like the scapegoat in Leviticus 16, the sins of his people were pronounced upon his head. All the sins of all of his people were imputed to him, accounted to him, put on his ledger, taken off of ours and put on his. And he took them unto himself with joy. Scripture says. I can't fathom that. It says he despised the shame. Perfect God-man was rendered defiled by our sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? He knew. He wanted us to know. Why? Our sin. That's why. God is holy. God is righteous. His justice went out upon the very Son of God because of our sin. The wrath of God for our sin was released and spent upon Him. The wrath of God, the death and separation of our sin would be averted from us to Him. The wrath of our sin would be absorbed in Him. God's wrath. Christ said to His Father in that eternal covenant, something like this, "I'll go for them. Lay their sin to my charge. I'll pay for it." And God did. That's what happened at the cross of Calvary. God did. The wrath for my sin was spent on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I might be free. You might be free from the undeniable indictment. The prophet Isaiah describes the work of this unmistakable Savior like this in Isaiah 53:5. "But He was wounded for our transgression." Why? Because the wages of sin is death. "He was bruised for our iniquities." Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's how serious God is about this. I know we're not very serious about it. Look at the cross. God is serious. God is serious. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. With His stripes, we are healed. We are healed. With His stripes, we are healed. Why, God? Why are we healed? Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why. Saints, brothers and sisters, the justice of God against our sin was satisfied when the just, Christ Jesus our Lord, died for the unjust, sinners like us. And so that we might know this for sure, we might know what the prophet says about how he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. God has given us the account in His Word and over 500 eyewitnesses of how though Christ did indeed die upon the cross and they laid Him in a grave for 3 days, listen, He was dead. There were people that say, no, He wasn't really. Yes, He was. He was dead. He was dead. But then He rose again. He rose again and He came forth from the grave of our death. You remember the account. We've talked about it. The Lord, the lawgiver sent the messengers. They rolled back the stone. The prisoner was set free. Payment paid in full. The justice of God was satisfied. And Jesus Christ came forth from the tomb. He later ascended into the heavens, where God's Word tells us that He now appears in the presence of God for all that He died for. He appears as their advocate. He appears as their great high priest. He appears as their surety, their guarantee for eternity. Listen, if this thing can be done without Christ, why does He just continue to work? Why does He continue to stand? Why does He continue to be the forever high priest that the book of Hebrews so clearly tells us about? You know why? Because He is the unmistakable Savior, and there's not another. There's only one. You see Him here? Look at this text. Hear God's Word. The wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. He gives life in the place of death, but just through and only through Jesus Christ. Not religion, not things, works, deeds, sacraments, all the things that man pile up. No, God's Word is clear, it's simple, it's simplistic. It is through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us from the first page to the last page, this was ever to be God's. Christ, He's the unmistakable Savior. Is He your Savior today? Is He your Master? Well, how do I know? Well, the text actually gives it away. Those two words, our Lord. Is He, Jesus Christ, the Christ of this Bible, not the Christ of men's religion, the Christ of our own imagination, the Christ of this Bible, is He your Master? Is He your Master? Why call you me Master, He said, and not do what I tell you to do? Is He your Master? The Bible tells us that a part of this unmerited gift, this grace of God, is that those that Christ made atonement for, those that He died for, those that His blood was shed for, they will be given in time the Spirit of this life and the gift by that Spirit of faith. And the focus and the allegiance and the hope of this God-given life and faith is the same singular, unmistakable Lord, Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, and I ask all of you, I plead with all of us to examine ourselves. Where is your focus? Where is the focus of your faith, if you have faith? Where is it really? Is it in your own works or own ability? Is it in the things that you have done, are doing, or will do? Do you have a religion that you believe causes God to give you His favor? If so, I stand before you this morning responsible and duty-bound to tell you the truth. If this is the case, if these things are what you focus on, that your hope is really in you, you're lost this morning. You're lost and you are without hope. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. God will never accept you for you. I know self-esteem movement that goes on in our nation and in the world. Just have to accept you for you. It's not true. God will not accept any of us for us. God will not accept you for what you do. His justice will not allow Him to, because the wages of sin must be paid. And the wages of sin is death. God will only accept you in Christ Jesus. He must be your refuge. He must be that rock. His must be that cleft that you hide in. He must be. And I know sometimes our first inclination, well, I've gone to church all my life. My parents and my grandparents, I was brought up in church. I'm a teacher. I'm a church officer. I'm a pastor. Doesn't matter. Listen, there are going to be teachers, preachers, pastors, missionary, lifetime church members who will stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, and He will say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Because He knows His people in Christ, you see. That's the only way His anger and His wrath can be averted. That's how serious our sin is. It's amazing. It isn't. It is amazing, but it's not surprising. If we put our sin into little boxes of action, when God sees our sin, when He looks upon us as ourself, He sees us as only sin, and there's no way to decompartmentalize that. He has to hide us in His Son. He has to put us in Him. That's the reason all through the Scriptures we hear that phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Well, where's your hope? Is it in Christ? It must be. It must be in Christ alone, or you have no other hope. Your focus. If the Spirit of life abides within you, your focus will be not upon yourself, but it will be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been brought to the realization that you have found favor in the eyes of the Lord? You have found this free gift of God because of the work and the ability and the merit, not of yourself and not of your religion, but because of your unmistakable Savior. When you stand, as all of us will soon, before the holy God of heaven and earth, what will be the hope of your acceptance then, that day? Look Him in the eye. Any answer but Jesus Christ alone will be certain doom for you. Certain doom. Christ. It must be Him. It must be His work. If it is Him. If it is Him. If you own this faith that is in this unmistakable Savior, praise the Lord. He has done this. He has given you this gift and this faith. He has favored you so highly, freely, but so highly, to save your soul from hell, to pour His wrath out upon His Son, His precious Son, instead of you. Praise the Lord. Don't take His glory from Him. Don't put it, turn the focus on you. No, it's not you. It's not you. I'll break our hearts. It was never us. It will never be us. It will always be His Son. It will always be His Son. Oh, to be in His Son. To find the favor of God that He has placed us, our lives and eternity in His Son, that He's hidden us in Jesus Christ, so that we might go into His presence
and live there in peace and joy and gladness forever and ever. What blessings the Lord has wrought upon us in Jesus Christ. Praise be to His name.
As it is written, He that glorieth,
let him glory in the Lord.
Because the wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
May God be pleased to use His truth, His gospel, this morning according to His purpose for Christ's sake.